Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are in our third Sefer, Book of the Torah Proper, Vayikra, for the Hebrew year 5781. This week, we are in a special double portion Torah study. We just finished our 29th portion, Akarei Mot, After Death, and we will now begin our second Parsha, our 30th study, entitled Kedoshim, Holy Ones. I would like to remind you of what we have been saying since we began our study of this book of Vayikra. The Torah studies in this section have been, for the most part, longer and more intense than previous studies. Yet, the foundation that will be laid is so integral and necessary to all who are being reintroduced to the Hebraic life and mindset Yahweh is restoring us to. Our true identity is Israel. Those of us who are a part of the returning house of Yosef Ephraim are not Jewish, but we are a part of the non-Jewish returning house of Yosef Ephraim, and yes, we are also Israel. This book of Vayikra will be a key to restoring us to our true identity, along with the house of Judah as the reunited whole house of Israel. I do like to make you aware each week that we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. I want to welcome all of our regular listeners as we continue on our insightful journey through the Torah, as well as those who will be joining us for the very first time. May our Abba Yahweh bless all who read and listen. My name is Joe Snipes, Yosef, from Gates to Zion Ministries. Again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. We now come to our second Parsha of the week, Kedoshim, or Holy Ones. In this Parsha, we find the crux of the entire book of Vayikra, Leviticus. It is about holiness. Now, if the truth be known, what we think we know about this subject is most probably not what it is in reality. So many who seek to define holiness see it as what we do or don't do. Wrong. The fact is, it is not until you see the Bible as one whole book that you will ever even come close to understanding what true holiness is. Only from the unique perspective of the Hebraic mindset is this even possible. Keep reading and let Yahweh lift the veil of revelation. In the process, you will find holiness is meant for a nation under restoration. The whole house of Israel, including both the Jewish house and the non-Jewish house of Yosef Ephraim. I will never forget one time while traveling through the mountains, we stopped to stretch and get some refreshments. I remember coming upon a sign for an upcoming gospel event. On one side of the sign, in bright letters, it read, there was going to be Holy Ghost singing, Holy Ghost preaching, and Holy Ghost power. On the other side of the sign, there was a big no. This was followed by women wearing makeup, women with short dresses, women with pants, men with long hair, men wearing jeans, no smoking, etc. Suddenly, I laughed. The thought came into my mind. Here we have a gospel meeting, but the only thing missing is going to be the sinners. Most of them were going to fall under the no category. Now, while the above observation of the situation may be amusing, there is really nothing funny about it. If the understanding of holiness is only one of exterior estimation, then we are missing the whole point. Are there no outward physical aspects of holiness? Yes, most assuredly, but the holiness that Yahweh is calling his people to begins at a much deeper level. The very opening two verses of our Parsha prove this to be true. Let's quote them and then move on so Yahweh by His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, can open our heart and mind to what true holiness is. One imperative distinction. Before we go further, we must make one imperative distinction about Yahweh's holiness. Everything we are about to read and study about holiness is true, but the covenant through which Yahweh's holiness is transmitted changed from Moshe at Mount Sinai to the final renewed covenant released by our Adon Lord Yeshua at His enthronement. The difference? Two words, heart and spirit. Beloved, Yahweh always looks to the heart, whether it was in Moses' day or in the day following our Master Yeshua's redemptive work. However, the final renewed covenant prophesied and promised through Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27 through 34, did not stop at the heart. It went directly into the matrix of the human spirit. The moment a person believes upon the redemptive work of our Master Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection, Yahweh infuses eternal life into their human spirit. Our resurrected, born-again human spirit received the divine sperm, the seed of the Almighty. The DNA of Yahweh is resident in us, citing Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Now, pay close attention as you read this next statement. When the human spirit is born again, and having believed upon our Lord Yeshua's redemptive work, the human spirit is raised from death to life. All who believe are not only sons and daughters of a nation, they are sons and daughters of a redeemed family. Their human spirit is born again and contains the very seed, the sperm of the Almighty. We can't go into the depths of what this means here, but I am going to quote a verse from the first epistle of Yochanan John. Read it again, memorize it. Let the depth and reality of its implications permeate your entire being. I am quoting the verse from the Amplified Classic Edition Bible. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. No one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him. And he cannot practice sinning because he is born, begotten of God. By this it is made clear, who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will and purpose, thought and action, is of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer, in Christ Mashiach. Holiness, true and false. We'll be quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 2. And Hashem Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, speak unto Kol Adat B'nai Israel, the whole assembly of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be Kedoshim, holy ones, for I, Hashem Elohim, Yahweh your mighty one, am Kadosh, holy, set apart. These are the words of Yahweh concerning his people. It is interesting that the word Adat used to identify Israel in the above verse is actually more than an assembly. It literally means a state witness. Israel is to function as a state witness among the nations. There are witnesses in all kinds of legal proceedings. However, to be a state witness is one that carries with it a very peculiar kind of authority. What does a witness do? Simply put, a witness tells what is known. A state witness, however, is one that has been given authority to not only tell what is known, but she or he has the authority to set a precedent by their testimony. In other words, Israel, in its special role as a state's witness, not only has the right to tell the truth about what is known concerning Yahweh, but has the authority to have that testimony serve as establishing a precedent that determines or defines the one of whom that testimony is made. Israel serves a unique purpose among the nations because of the intimate place she holds with her Creator. What she has experienced of Him becomes a kind of barometer by which all others will come to view and understand Yahweh's essence. When it comes to the subject of holiness, what Israel has come to know creates a strong precedence. Why? Because Yahweh brought Israel into being by His own prophetic determination. This nation alone exists as the prophetic instrument by which Yahweh will work out and fulfill all His eternal and redemptive purposes. Yahweh has bestowed da'at, intimate revelation knowledge, to the people of Israel through His Torah and the operation of His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness. The truthfulness of her testimony in this relationship with Yahweh carries a dimension of understanding by which all other such understanding will be measured. If you can grasp this, then you will understand the depth of the meaning which the words of Rav Shaul in the Messianic writings, Matthew through Revelation, truly have. We are quoting from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 24. And to enrobe yourself in Adam Hekadash, the new man, humanity, having been created according to the Demut Hashem, the image of Yahweh, as Zitkat Eloheinu, righteousness of the Mighty One, and in the Kedusha Ha'emes, the holiness of the truth. Please pay attention to the emphasized portion of the above verse. It says that we are to enrobe ourselves in the humanity of the new man of whom the Mashiach is the head. This new humanity is one that is according to the very image of Yahweh Himself and carries with it His very own righteousness and holiness. In other words, the holiness of Yahweh is true holiness. What this means is, if there is something that exists that is true holiness, then there is also something existing that can be said to be false holiness. The implications of this are of great consequence. Yahweh Himself is the definition of true holiness. We are quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 19, the last part of verse 2. For you shall be kedoshim, holy ones. For I, Hashem Elohim, Yahweh, your Mighty One, am Kadosh, holy, set apart. I've gone back to our opening verse in our Parsha to quote the above fragment. Why? Because Yahweh herein reveals to us how to define what true holiness is. It does not begin with something that is done, or as most who try and define holiness erroneously, make it something not done. True holiness is not a thing at all. True holiness is a who. Yahweh alone, Himself, is the definition of true holiness. See what He says to Israel. Be kedoshim, holy ones. In what way? The answer? I, Yahweh, am holy. In other words, be as I am. Now, does the above seem to be a goal that is too high to attain? Let's go ahead and get the bad news out of the way. It is. It is if we begin within ourselves as the origination of such effort. Mark this down and be absolutely clear in understanding what is being said. There is no effort on our part which begins with us as the point of origination, which will culminate in some degree of attained holiness. There will be nothing equal to the reality of true holiness. Why? Because true holiness is nothing less than Yahweh Himself. We cannot do enough or not do enough that will in some way equal out to be true holiness. Those who use any religious tradition, Christian, Jewish, or otherwise, to set up rules and parameters that will somehow hopefully end in attaining a degree of holiness acceptable to Yahweh are headed for failure. They are embarking on a lesson that is at best futile and at worst a strong delusion. It may look like holiness. Others may declare their standard to be holiness, but it is not. Nor will it ever culminate in anything but a gross misrepresentation of what true holiness is. True holiness is Yahweh himself. So, if that is true, then is Yahweh unrighteous? How can he ask something of us, knowing that there is no hope for us ever arriving at the desired end? Before we answer that, let us first clarify again what Yahweh has done for us. He has given us the true and unmistakable means to define what true holiness is. The answer is, he alone is true holiness. Now, let us state emphatically that Yahweh indeed is righteous. His righteousness is revealed in his holiness. That is why one of the most recognized titles of Yahweh in the writings of the sages of Israel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he. In our Torah Parsha this week, Yahweh three times makes the declaration that our holiness must be like unto his own. He himself is the standard by which all true holiness is measured. The first time we quoted from Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 2. Our next quote will come from Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 20, and verse 7. And we read, consecrate yourselves as kadosh, holy, therefore, and be ye kedoshim, holy ones, for I am Hashem Elohim, Yahweh, your mighty one. And we'll also quote from Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 20, and verse 26. And we read, and you shall be kadoshim, holy ones, unto me, for I, Hashem Yahweh, am kadosh, holy, and have separated you from the nations, that you should be mine. The Torah instruction, the need for holiness. Quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And Hashem Elohim, Yahweh the Mighty One, commanded the Adam, the man, saying, of every etz of the gan, the tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the etz hada'at, tov v'ra, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the yom, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. As we are about to see, holiness is about distinction. Yahweh is himself echad, or one. There is no fragmentation, no separation or mixture in him. In the beginning, when Yahweh placed man in the garden, he was created like unto his creator. Yahweh instructed the man that he could freely eat of every tree of the garden but one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yahweh further instructed that in the day that he ate of this tree, he would die. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the only tree in the garden that was inherently a mixture. All the other trees, including the tree of life, produced only one kind of fruit. There was no mixture. The ingestion of the mixed fruit of the forbidden tree introduced dissection into man's being. Man became fragmented. As a result, his soul was inordinately elevated so that he no longer simply had a soul, he became solukol. What does that mean? He was mutated by his choice to disobey Yahweh's clear instruction. Instead of becoming a spiritual man, he became a man who was in essence controlled, dominated by his soul. Citing 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he became a soul man, a being controlled by his mind, emotion, and will. The result was confusion. He was made subject to the inclinations and imaginations of the deepest recesses of his soul, the yetzer, or the inclination. The entrance of sin into man's being caused his spirit to taste death. As a result, his human spirit sank down into the dominion of the soul realm. His human spirit became imprisoned in a realm of fragmentation and mixture. Thus, you hear the cry of King David's heart concerning the power of Yahweh, quoting from Tehillim, Psalms 23, the first part of verse 3. He restores my soul. This is the power that Yahweh begins to bring us to when we come into his redemption through believing upon his son, Mashiach, Messiah, Yeshua. He then calls us to his Torah and begins the process of sanctification. The Torah, under the guidance of Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, restores our soul. We begin the process of being restored to Yahweh's holiness, or wholeness. Man fell in the beginning by not guarding Yahweh's commandments. Man is restored by learning to keep and obey Yahweh's commandments. In the beginning, sin entered into man by his mouth. He ate what Yahweh told him not to. He ingested into himself the essence of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That essence is mixture. Adam lost his unique distinction in being the first son of the Mighty One. As a result, all who descend from him bear his, not Yahweh's, image. We're quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. This is the Sefer Todot, the book of the generations of Adam. In the Yom, in the day that Bara Elohim, the Mighty One, created Adam, in the Demut Elohim, likeness of the Mighty One, he made him. Zakar and Nekeva, male and female, he created them and blessed them and called the shame, the name of them, Adam, in the Yom, the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 shana, years, and fathered in his own Demut, likeness, and after his Telem, his image, and called Shmo Shet, his name, Seth. Did you notice what this passage says? In the beginning, Yahweh created mankind in his own likeness and image. Yet shortly after the fall, after the birth of Habel, Abel, and Cain, Adam began to bring forth offspring. Yet they were not in the likeness and image of Yahweh, but after man's own likeness and image. Adam cannot pass on to his descendants what he does not possess naturally within the matrix of his being. Therefore, Shet, or Seth, began to bear the likeness and image of his father. He also inherited the mixture of his father's matrix. Holiness could no longer be realized from the inner realm of mankind's spirit. It must be reintroduced to man from another source, Yahweh's Torah. As Torah enters the heart, then mankind may once again know the holiness, the distinction of being made in the likeness and image of his Creator. One of the ways Yahweh restores us to wholeness, be ye holy, is by learning to obey the instructions of his Torah. One of the most central tenets of Yahweh's Torah instructions is to understand what food is. The instructions in the Torah concerning dietary restrictions are one of the first steps in Yahweh's process of restoring our soul from the fragmentation that sin has inflicted on us. It's one of the reasons why there is so much controversy when we return to Yahweh and his Torah. HaSatan, may his memory be blotted out forever, knows this. Our learning how to eat in obedience to Yahweh's loving instructions, his Torah, is shutting one of the major doorways, the mouth, the darkness uses to keep us chained to sin. Going a step further, learning to keep our mouth from allowing the tongue to speak words of death, anger, and hate, etc., and speak life, will further bring Yahweh's shalom into our lives. Citing Si Parsha Metzorah, Yahweh's judgment on Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, for further insights, which we have just finished studying. The Holy One who makes holy.
We are quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 32 and 33.
Neither shall you profane Shem Kodshi, my holy name, but I will be treated as Kadosh, holy, among the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel. I am Hashem, Yahweh, the one making you Kadoshim, holy ones, that brought you out of Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, to be for you Elohim, your God, your mighty one,
I am Hashem Yahweh. We have seen that true holiness is nothing less than Yahweh himself. He in turn asked that Am Israel be expressive of that same kind of holiness. The dilemma we are faced with is, if true holiness is Yahweh himself, and since we are not him, then how can we do what he has asked? We must first understand holiness as Yahweh reveals it in his Torah. There are those who say that there is no grace in the Torah. That statement is one of prejudice against the Torah, referred to derogatorily as law. It is wholly untrue. Grace can be found throughout the Torah and the entire Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, as we have seen erroneously referred to as the Old Testament in the theology of the Church of Christendom. If there was no grace in the Torah, then Israel would have never survived their time in the wilderness. Yahweh repeatedly showed Israel his grace, referred to in Hebrew as chesed, meaning grace or favor,
mercies.
Here in our above quoted verse, we find Yahweh's grace being shown to Israel in that he who is holy is also the one who makes Israel holy. Herein lies the righteousness of Yahweh, who asks his people to be holy as he is holy. He alone makes them holy. The word in Hebrew for holy used here is the verb kadash, and it is in the causative sense. This means that Yahweh is the one who causes Israel to be holy. He makes them so. Theirs is not to attain such holiness by their own efforts. The holiness of Yahweh is too superior. It is too high to attain on their own. They must receive that holiness from him who is holy.
The key to understanding the how this holiness was and is attained is given to us in the verse quoted above. Yahweh, as the Redeemer of Israel, brought his people out of the land of their bondage in Mitzrayim in Egypt. He sanctified, separated them apart from the darkness, evil, and uncleanness in which they existed there. In so doing, he showed Israel his grace, his mercies, and gave them a standing of righteousness through the blood of the Pesach lambs slain in obedience to his command. He revealed his holiness to both Mitzrayim, Egypt, and to Israel by showing himself to be different, literally other than all the false mighty ones worshipped by the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. No other mighty one could do what Yahweh did in delivering his people. That distinction was the expression of the holiness of Yahweh as the only true and set apart mighty one of heaven and earth. Israel was in turn made holy, set apart by that redemptive deliverance. They were then instructed to keep themselves holy, set apart, by pursuing the instructions, the mitzvot, the commandments of Yahweh. The Torah became the door by which Israel gained access to Yahweh's holiness. Israel's holiness was not attained by their efforts alone. It was given to them by Yahweh, who delivered them and gave them access to his Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness. Now, having been made holy, set apart by Yahweh, they were instructed to keep their status by maintaining their distinction as Yahweh's covenant nation through loving obedience to his Torah instructions.
Holiness means to be other than. Having now begun to understand the true essence of what real holiness is, Yahweh himself, let us go a little further. I alluded to our next point above when I said Yahweh is different or distinct from his creation, especially in the fallen state in which it now exists. This distinction means to literally be other than. Quoting from Shmuel Aleph, 1 Samuel 15, verse 29, and also the Netzach Israel, the Eternal One of Israel, will not lie nor relent. For he is not an Adam, a man, that he should change his mind. This is the famous verse used by the anti-missionaries in Orthodox Judaism to supposedly refute the truth that Yahweh manifested a portion of himself in human flesh, Yeshua of Nazareth. He called this manifestation of himself his son. He did this in order to reconcile the world in redemption to himself, citing 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. This is the first prerequisite of eternal redemption. Yahweh alone can redeem. The verse quoted above does not say that Yahweh would not or could not become a man. It simply says that he is not like mankind as fallen mankind exists at present. He is other than man, who in his fallen state is subject to lying or being subject to vacillating determinations. If Yahweh chose to manifest himself in humanity, he would be truthful and consistent in his choices. He would be other than what mankind is known to be at present. This is exactly what he did through manifesting himself in human form. We know him as Yeshua, the Son. To be other than is more than just being different. It means to actively resemble the one who is other than. Let's listen to our master. Quoting from Yochanan, John, chapter 14, verse 9, the latter portion. The one having seen me has seen Elohim, the Mighty One, Ha'ab, the Father. Do you see that? Our blessed Master Yeshua was a perfect representation of Yahweh's glory as the Father, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. To have seen or heard Rebbe Yeshua was to have seen and heard the Father himself. This is what is meant to be holy. It is to be other than the common expression of anything. It is to manifest Yahweh, who has chosen us. He who himself is other than. In all that we are and do, Mashiach is in us, meaning in union with us. He indwells us by Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, citing Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Mashiach means anointed one. When the anointing of Yahweh by His Haruach HaKodesh, Spirit of His Holiness, causes Mashiach to live and move in us, then it can be said to those having seen us, it is to have seen Him. This is what it means to be distinct, as He, Yahweh, is holy. It is literally to recover what Adam lost due to the fall, the likeness and image of His Creator. This again is only possible through the grace that Yahweh has given to us. Just as He did for Israel, He made them holy, set apart, distinct. He made them other than, just as He Himself is other than. He is working that same image and likeness in us who believe. Further understanding of holiness. The noun holy in Hebrew may also be used as both an adjective and a verb. Both are spelled with the same Hebrew consonant letters. It is how the vowel letters are placed that determines which usage they have. The word holy as a verb is kadash. It is spelled kof dalet shin, spelled right to left. Hebrew words all come from the earliest form of the Hebrew language known as Paleo-Hebrew. This early form of Hebrew ascribed pictures with meanings to each of the Hebrew letters. In Paleo-Hebrew, the picture of the letter Chof has the appearance of being a horizon in time of movement. Picture of the letter Dalet is that of a door or of access. While the letter Sheen, and it's hard to describe this in words, it's better if you're actually looking at it in the actual Torah Parsha as we're reading, but it has come to represent the name of Yahweh as El Shaddai and also as fire. So when you put these together, you have the meaning to view the process of time, bringing access to the door of El Shaddai's fire. It literally means to move in time to the door to access El Shaddai's fire. This is the process where we are transformed to be holy other than as our Creator. Now, continuing with the adjective form of the word for holy, this is the word kadosh. Everything we learned above about the verb form remains the same. The only difference is you add the Hebrew letter vav, and it becomes kadosh. It looks like this example that's written in the actual Torah parsha, read right to left as kof dalet vav shein. The vav in Paleo Hebrew is a picture of a hook or a nail. It is that which joins. So by adding the vav to kadosh, you get kadosh. The meaning of kadosh is the same as kadosh, except now as an adjective, the word describes what happens when we become connected to El Shaddai. Take a moment and think. Who is the door revealed in Scripture? It is our blessed Master Yeshua, citing Yochanan John chapter 10, verse 7. So, by moving in time through the door, Yeshua HaMashiach, we have access and become connected to El Shaddai's fire. He who is holy, in turn, makes us holy. We access our Master by prayer, praise, study of the Torah. He is the living Torah and obedience. As we do, Yahweh, through His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, both maintains and increases the degree of His holiness we experience. We become like our Mighty One who makes us holy. We become other than as He is, holy. Amen. Practical aspects of Yahweh's holiness. The whole Torah, Parsha on Kedoshim, Holy Ones, gets right down to the nitty-gritty of how Israel was to live their daily lives. We have made this observation before, but it is good to bring it up again. The Torah has more to do than just what most would be concerned with in the sense of the spiritual. Yahweh's Torah touches every part of our lives. There is no such thing in our lives as Israel as a separation between the sacred and the secular. Every aspect of our life is to be holy before Yahweh and the world in which we live. The Torah has as much to say about our relationships, both familial and friendships, as how we conduct our business affairs, even our intimacy between husband and wife, as it does about those areas we deem as spiritual. Yahweh, in our present parsha, our portion, is bringing His people into the physical land of promise, their inheritance. In so doing, He made it clear that the reason the land was being made available to them was because those nations who had been there previously violated His standards. They were mixed in worship of false mighty ones and idolatry. They were engrossed in all manner of sexual perversion and dark depravities. They violated relationships on every level. They sought after demons and occultic practices and black powers. In the process, they had so corrupted themselves that they became beyond hope of redemption. The very land itself vomited them out. What was left, Yahweh Himself determined for Israel, His chosen nation, was to possess. In contrast, Yahweh gave clear instruction that as His people, Israel was to remain holy, separate from these wicked expressions. If they listened and obeyed, then they would enjoy the blessing of the land as their inheritance. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. If not, then the judgments that had befallen their predecessors would come upon them. Israel must maintain the gift of Yahweh's holiness. He had provided this gift for them by His chesed, His grace, and mercies. When the nations around Israel saw them, what these nations saw should reveal Yahweh, their Mighty One, to them. Just as He is other than them, so Israel must be too. We'll be quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. You shall therefore be shamer, on guard, over all my kuchot, those are my illogical statutes, and all my mishpatim, my judgments, and do them that Haaretz, the land, whither I bring you to dwell therein, vomit you not out. And you shall not walk in the Huchot, the occult dark statues of Hagoy, the nations, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things. Therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to inherit it. And Eretz Zavat Kolav Udavash, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Hashem Elohim, Yahweh your mighty one, which have separated you from the peoples. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah. Chazak u'baruch, strength and blessing.